I had placed in the incorrect scripture. It says Ezekiel, it's supposed to be, say Ezra. But I believe God has things happen to get our attention and forgive us new opportunities. Unless you went running out after first reading that when you came in, you're excited to hear a really good message, because it says, he said to me, the guilt of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. The land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity, for they said the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. You really want to hear a sermon on that? Yeah, okay. Sometimes God uses unusual ways to move his people into new or renewed opportunities. And that's a wonderful way to segue into that. And his delighting and his dealing with his people Israel, God used unusual ways to move his people into new. Provide for, exhibit his attributes through, lead to point others toward him, and through whom he would bring the whole world the promised Redeemer, Messiah, and Savior. And God called these people, his people, Israel. It means triumphant in God. Yet as wonderful as God was to them and blessing them, and they constantly ignored him and his will. Sounds familiar. They wandered from him. They fell into periods of sin, even into unfaithfulness such as idolatry. And God confronted them and punished them for this. And sometimes they listened and got it, and sometimes they didn't. And sometimes then God let them sleep in the wages of the sin bed that they and in hopes that they would learn and turn back. And when they did, as we heard in the scripture passage that was read today out of Ezra, we find such a time of judgment. And this area is called the Babylonian captivity, or killed many people, destroyed the Jewish temple, took them captive, thousands of Jews captive, and left Jerusalem in ruins. The walls, the temple, everything in ruins. And for 70 years, God's people lived in this captivity, in this slavery. And for 70 years, God's people repented and prayed for deliverance. And after 70 years, finally, King Cyrus of Persia conquered Babylon and told Israel that they could return now to Jerusalem to rebuild their fortress and their temple. A prophetic spiritual leader entered that temple, and as he entered, he detected that something was wrong. God's people, he saw, were beginning to sin again, to stray again. Even after they had come out of all that sin and captivity and the punishment and been delivered, and now they were continuing to do it again. And are in idolatry. And we see in that passage out of Ezra 9, as you saw today, it says, after these things had been done, the officials approached me and said, the people of Israel, the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands with their abominations. For the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites, for they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and for their sons. Thus the holy seed has mixed itself with the people of the lands, and the faithfulness of the officials and leaders have led the way. Ezra says, when I heard this, as was a sign of great distress in that time, I tore my garment and my mantle, and I pulled hair from my head and beard, and I sat appalled. returned exiles gathered around me while I was appalled into the evening sacrifice. And then he prays. At the evening sacrifice, I got up from my fasting with my garments and my mantle torn, and I fell on my knees. I spread out my hands to the Lord my God, and I said, "Oh, for our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. For the days of our ancestors to this day, we have been deep in guilt, and our iniquities, our kings and our priests have been handed over to the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plundering, to the shame, as is now the case. But now, for a brief moment, favor has been shown by the Lord our God, who has left us a remnant and given us a stake in the holy place, in order that we might brighten our eyes and grant us a little sustenance in our slavery." "But has extended his steadfast love before the kings of Persia to give us new life, to set up the house of our God, to repair its ruins and to give us a wall in Judea and Jerusalem." Hear verse 9. "Yet our God to repair its ruins and to give us a wall in Judea and Jerusalem." In other words, a new opportunity is knocking for them. I love Ezra 10:1. It says, "While Ezra was praying and confessing, weeping and throwing himself down before the house of God, a large crowd of Israelites, men and women and children, gathered around him. They too in their actions, though difficult, showed their true repentance." Now, 2,500 years later, God remains the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Sometimes God still uses unusual ways to move his people into new or renewed opportunity. God may use negative forces, or quirky forces, or even positive forces to move his people into a new or renewed opportunity. We can continue to say to this day, "Yet our God has fast love to give us new life, to set up the house of our God, to repair its ruins, and to give us a wall in Judea and Jerusalem." It's a praise of God and to God and for God. Of, to, and for God, who again extends his steadfast love to us. Of, to, and for God, who gives us new life. Of, to, and for God, who again gives us an opportunity to repair, to build, to set up the house of God. New life, new structures, new opportunities. Sometimes God uses unusual ways to move his people into new or renewed opportunities. And he moved in the nation then. And for 70 years they had time to reflect and pray and think about what God was going to do. And he did give them that remnant, and they did turn, and they continued to honor him in many ways after that. But to this, you know it, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I will heal their land. When God's people are humble and prayerful and repentant and seeking God and his ways, God hears, God forgives, and God heals the land. He moves his people into new or renewed opportunity. But you note in there that it didn't begin with the whole nation just saying, of the priest saying on behalf of the nation, I ask prayers for the nation, I ask you to forgive the nation. It was a people individually that all surrounded and one by one came to that point. It begins with us individually, you and me, when God's people, when we are humble and prayerful and seeking God and his way. Even in your own personal life. Some of you are going through a difficult time in your personal life right now. We love you. We're here to pray for you and support you and encourage you. And we've all been at those places, are in one now, or will be facing one soon, where we, along with you, are in those circumstances where we are confused and maybe even depressed. Maybe wondering just where God could be in all of this. I have a very simple but challenging word for you. It's very hard, very difficult. The word is trust. Above the difficulties and the circumstances, the wonderings and the depression, trust. Never assume God's silence or unseen movement means he doesn't care or he's not working. You remember Genesis 1? It says, in the beginning, God. Just God. It says in 2, the earth was formless and empty, darkness over the surface of the deep, yet the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be, and then there was. You would have thought in all that silence, in that emptiness, in that formlessness, that there's nothing going on. Yet there was God. And God said, let there be, and there was. Not him working on your behalf. He is interested in you. Don't doubt him. Trust him. We're all familiar so many times with the story of Joseph in the Bible, from a prominent family. And then he was betrayed by jealous brothers, sold into slavery, taken to a foreign land where he was a slave, falsely accused of rape and imprisoned. However, he continued to trust and honor his God. And anybody that looked so many times that God may have forgotten him, his God always was with him. And in time, Joseph was elevated to a position of authority, not only over his brothers, but also over all of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh. His words in Genesis 50:20 are, you intended to his brothers to do me harm, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Do not rely on your circumstances, or your deceptive feelings, or your deceptive emotions. With God, even when nothing seems to be happening, something is happening. God is always at work in the universe and the lives of his children. Trust. In the Old Testament and New Testament, we find God affirming this again and again. I will never leave you or forsake you. The psalmist in Psalm 139, 7 to 10 knows this. He says, you are there. If I might make bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold and promises and power remain true, even if we have no feelings of it whatsoever. It may just be a new beginning for you and God. Trust. Go forward. Start taking those steps forward. And know that God has planned something better for you. God can do more in 24 hours in your life than you can do in 30 years of manipulating your career. Ever be ready for. So be at peace and rest, knowing that God Ephesians 5:14, it says, this is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. In your personal life, new opportunity just may be knocking. Trust
as it's coming. You have opportunities before you right now. You may not be clear exactly what those are. You are renewed opportunity. Well, that's in your individual personal life. Well, if you are a Christ one, you also have Christian life opportunities. Very special things occur. Our sins are forgiven. We're cleansed. We're born anew as God's children, and God is our Heavenly Father. Heaven is our eternal home. Each personal spiritual gifts. Every many passages in the Bible talk of these, but a main one is 1 Corinthians 12, and let me just read a few verses from it. And please hear God's counsel from this. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Do you notice it's the Spirit that gives these? There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. 11. All of these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Illustration. He says, if you said to your body, in your body, he says, if your foot says to the hand, or the hand says to the eye, or the different parts of your body said, you know, I don't belong, or you don't belong because you're not me, he said, that's the wrong way to look at it. The whole body is needed. He finishes in verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Please say aloud with me, I am a part, an important part of the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. We all are. 2 Corinthians 6:1 says we are God's fellow workers. 1 Peter 4:10 says each one should and made me. God gave you special gifts and talents and abilities and a background and experience to be used to serve Him and others. We talked about a day, and they said, you know, there have been some very difficult, trying, heartbreaking times in my life that God has brought me through. I'm expecting to hear, wow, we're going to have some counseling here. And then she said, and God has helped me and taught me and healed me. And I want to see if there are ways I can take wow. I reminded them there's a book out called The Wounded Healer. I just want to stop for a minute and thank God for all of you that already are in staff. We see your very busy lives. We do know that you spend hours at work, hours in traffic, and still you come here to serve. And we praise God for you, and we thank you for your faithfulness to Christ and His church. We could not do it without you. You and your gifts are vitally important here. I have a saying that I kind of made up in my mind as I was in ministry, and it is this. You are only as important as you make yourself to be. You are only as important as you make yourself to be. Brother Jason, could you come up here, please?
This is awkward.
This is awkward. Jason is... Roll your eyes.
Can I go down now?
No. Okay, good. Pastor Paul is an important part of the body of Christ. All God's people say?
Amen.
Amen. And as long as they follow God's call and challenge to be here and use their gifts to serve the body, to serve Christ in this And Jason would never do that. He does like to play golf, by the way, but I know. But I haven't seen him use that as a habit at all to miss church. And so Jason is a wonderful servant. And Paula decided that she just wanted to go shovel more sidewalks and driveways because she just wanted to be a nice person. You know, that would be leaving the body lacking. And not as healthy, wouldn't it? Well, guess what God would do? You know, God will bring them in, and He'll bring more people to replace if you decide to leave. Thank you, Tim. So the important thing is you are only as important as you make yourself to be. And just remember, to serve Him and His people here, it's an honor. And we take that so lightly and we just toss it aside. And then we're not only disappointing the God who has gifted us with special spiritual gifts to serve the body, but God is also then going to, it's His church, He'll rally somebody else's heart to come and do it. It's that simple. It's that way. As the saying goes, one life will soon be passed, only what's done for Christ will last. And what you do for Jesus Christ in His body lasts into eternity. Tell me that your job is going to last. What you do in your job is going to go into eternity. Even if you build a bridge or a... Put that one up called, "That's Not My Job." I'd like to read this to you. Story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. About that, because it was everybody's job. Eventually, though, anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. I know, I just woke you up. Maybe I didn't, I don't know. Did you ever stop to ponder why God has you? Odd, as Pastor Eddie mentioned, the names of the former churches, Streams of Hope and First Baptist Gaithersburg, those are even getting distant as we start moving forward in the way of our title as to our identity. God has you here because there's opportunity knocking. You're here because God has gifted you to give something back, to serve here. You have in your, that we mentioned about the sheets that are in your, that were given to you, those are just This will help us to put this into kind of a database so that when we see a need, we can contact, we need two pieces of position. Use that and go forward with that. So please fill that out and let us know about that in your life. There's so many areas to serve here. We need you to pray for. We have a new thing. It's normal for Streams of Hope. We have a new office that we're using as a new church, and that is the elders. And the elders are very biblical. And it's not an elder rule type thing. It's an elder serve. It's to help shepherd the church through discernment, prayer, encouragement, and correction. We've already blended our deacon boards together, and they're starting to work those things out. We will still have all the emphases and teams of all the ministries of both churches we wanted to do as we now have a new opportunity to go. But there are so many new opportunities to serve. And there's a little thing I saw that's a pretty thing that's called Consider This Day. It says, consider this a day of new beginning. Consider it a fresh start, a new opportunity to serve your Creator with willing hands and a loving heart. It's a new day. It's as simple as being a greeter. Let me read a little testimony by somebody. It says, being a greeter at the front door of the church is a job that most people think of as not important. However, to the man or woman who walks into the church for the first time, it's a huge deal. We had the privilege of showing our joy for Jesus right at the I remember how welcoming my church was the first time I stepped one foot in it. The greeter made me feel like I was part of the church family by the way they smiled and welcomed me in a gentle and warm spirit. Sometimes it's the greeter who makes all the difference. Every office is like that. There's a pediatrician that wrote this little article. It said, one Sunday my wife had prepared a lesson on being useful. She taught the children that everyone could be useful, that usefulness is serving God, and that doing so is worthy of honor. The kids quietly soaked up my wife's words, and as the lesson ended, there was a short silence, and a little girl named Sarah spoke up and said, teacher, what can I do? I don't know of anything that I can do. And the wife just quickly thought about it and spotted an empty flower. That would be a very nice thing. It would show us the glory of God's creation. It would encourage us of God's love. It would be a real encouragement to me and to everybody in this room. Sarah said, okay. The next Sunday, teacher came in. The flower vase was there. It was full of water, and there was a dandelion in it. Little Sarah had put a dandelion in there. And the next Sunday, there was a little carnation in there. The next Sunday, there was a rose in there. Sometimes these flowers came from the neighbor's yards. Sometimes she thought they didn't care because God grew the flower. Sometimes she went to the store. Sometimes she picked them in the yard or whatever. But every Sunday for 2 years, Sarah put a flower in that vase. As a matter of fact, shortly after it started, the pastor had heard about that, and he asked the teachers to start bringing that after Sunday school to the sanctuary, and they'd put it right on. Week to glorify God and to brighten our lives with the love of Jesus. And the churches were so excited about it. And they did some tests and found out she had a terminal illness. The vase with a flower in it in her memory. And the mom came up to the pastor and said, Sarah wrote a note for you and to the church that she wanted you to read. So he opened the note at the end of the service and he opened it and just said these simple words. Thank you for allowing me to serve Jesus. Wow. He's given us wonderful opportunities to love him back. You heard that in the worship songs. Thank you for allowing me to serve Jesus. In your personal life, sometimes God uses the most unusual circumstances to give you new or renewed opportunities. In the church life, God is giving us, as a new church, some really, I mean, it's unusual that two churches would merge and that we would get along so well, but that God's in it. And sometimes God brings those unusual opportunities for us to have a new or renewed opportunity. It's all about who? Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. Let us pray. Our lives, and personally, and as Christians, as a church, Lord, we know that you have opportunities knocking in our lives right now, our personal lives, and our Christian lives, and our church life. And Lord, we just want to be open to that. We want to be open to serving Jesus. We pray that we'll take up those opportunities, and we will pray for our leaders and pray for those who serve, and we will stand in and we will make ourselves important, and not in an egotistical way, but as vital parts of your body. We pray that we will do that to your glory, and that we will also say, thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.